Swami Nikhilanand is a disciple of Jagat Guru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He resides at Radha Madhav Dham in Austin, Texas, which is the U.S. ashram of Jagat Guru Kripalu Parishad. He travels America preaching the philosophy of Sanatan Dharma as taught by Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In this series, Swami Nikhilanand tells the Sri Krishna Leelas of the Bhagavatam from his appearance and birthday celebration in Gokul up until Govardhan Leela when he was 7 years of age. In addition, he explains the effect of listening to Sri Krishna Leelas and how meditating on the Leelas is an important part of the path of bhakti.
Yesterday, we finished with the Leela where Brahma tried to test Krishna and then he ended up surrendering to Krishna and admitting that he had made a mistake by doubting Sri Krishna's divinity and by trying to analyze his Leelas with his intellect, because Leelas are not meant to be intellectually analyzed. They're meant to be emotionally remembered. And that in fact is the form of devotion. How do you do bhakti? Emotionally remember Sri Krishna, his Leelas, his beautiful form, his gunas, his virtues, his abode, Golok, Gokul, Vrindavan. This is the form of devotion. By bringing all of those things inside, we're purifying our heart. It's in here that we need to purify. Our man, our mind needs to be purified. That is what needs to be surrendered to Sri Krishna. And it is in here that we have to receive His grace. And the only thing preventing us from that is the fact that our heart is impure. So how to purify it? Sri Krishna tells us in the Bhagavatam. Vishayan dhyayatashchit tam vishayeshu visajjate mamanusmaratashchittam mayeva praviliyate. If we do such a loving emotional remembrance of worldly pleasures or worldly things, that brings more impurity into the mind, because there are two fields. There's the divine field and there's the mayic field. So the mayic field is by its own nature not pure. It's a mixture of good and bad. So if we attach our mind in the mayic field, we add more impurity in our mind. And if we attach our mind to God or any of His name, His form, His leelas, His gunas, His dham, His jan, then our heart gets purified. So that integral form of devotion has to be something where we're attaching our mind to God, His name, His leelas, etc. In other words, we have to bring Him into our heart. And the easiest way to do that is through remembering His leelas. Because those leelas are charming, they're heart enticing, they attract our mind. So it's very easy to spend time doing that, and that time is not spent in the... When we say spend, it means something is lost. And we're getting something back. We're actually using that time for what it was meant. When we remember Shri Krishna's leelas, we're making our jivan saphal. We're making this life worthwhile in those moments where our mind is engaged in remembering Shri Krishna. And in those moments when we forget Him, then our mind is wandering in the world and time is running out on our life. And if we die before our heart is fully purified and we attain Krishna, then there is no telling how long will it be until we get another chance to receive a human birth. And again, we'll get a chance in that human birth, maybe, to know about Shri Krishna, His leelas, get a chance to do chintan of those leelas. There are people born on this earth who never hear about Krishna, who don't know about His leelas, who don't know what is bhakti, how to do devotion. So this is a golden opportunity we have, and those moments or those minutes or even better, those hours or days that we spend remembering Krishna and His Leelas, that time alone is going to fructify into something divine. That time that we spend doing that is being used to the utmost of the capacity of this human body. Anything else we can do in any other species, although we do have to live a physical life and we have to acknowledge and take part in our family duties, but we were not only born as human in order to do our family duties and work in the world, that animals do as well. Animals love their families. They get attached to each other. They take care of each other. They work to gain food to support themselves and their family. So if that is all we are doing in this life, or going beyond that and collecting more wealth so that we can enjoy more of this world through our five senses, then you can say either we're on par with the animals or we're actually less than an animal. Ahara nidra bhaya maithunancha samanya metat pashubhir naranam jnanam hitesham adhiko visesho jnanena hina pashubhi samana. Bhartrihari says that there are four ways, in his estimation, that human beings and animals are the same. Both human beings and animals do these four things. They eat, they sleep, they procreate, and they fear. So in that way, animals and humans are the same, and if that is all we're doing, then we're the same as an animal, not more. What sets a human being above is jnana. But jnanena hina pashubhi samana. The one who doesn't make use of his jnana, he's the same as an animal. So how do we make use of that jnana, that knowledge? First of all, we can discriminate between what is right and wrong. It doesn't mean we always... See, we know what is right and wrong. We can make that discrimination. Sometimes we decide to do the wrong thing anyway. Our desire for something overrides our intellect, which knows this is wrong. Yet our heart says, but I want it, so I'll do it anyway. So when that happens, we're no better than an animal. But when we use our intellect to control those impulses and do the right thing and not the wrong thing, then we're starting to fulfill the capacity of a human being. But that knowledge can be used for something even more. That knowledge is meant to be used to attain God. The full potential of a human being is not reached until that human being attains God. Then that, see, a human being has the potential to become perfect, to become like God. Imagine, from this, from where we are now, where we have this body which is troubling us all the time, which has so many limitations, even great Olympic athletes or pro athletes, their bodies are not perfect. They get injured, they wear out after the age of 25 or 30 or 35. They can't do it anymore. So this body is giving us so many problems all the time, so much pain. This mind is so difficult to control. Even when we know what's right, sometimes we don't do it anyway. If we want to meditate, our mind runs all over. So, but with this faulty body and this mind, we have the potential to become like God. If we simply surrender that to Him, through His grace, He gives us His divine power. And having received that divine power, we receive His unlimited sat, meaning unlimited divine life. unlimited chit, which means perfect divine knowledge, and unlimited anand, everlasting, infinite bliss. So in that way we become just like God. That is the full potential of a human being. So we keep that in mind, that how are we going to reach that potential? The only way to attract our mind really strongly in that direction towards Krishna is through his leelas. And that is why those leelas are like a treasure of a true devotee. So the Bhagavatam is an authoritative source for those leelas. So we started from Sri Krishna's appearance and his birthday celebration in Gokul. And we've gone right up and covered the first 5 years of his life with the main leelas which are described in the Bhagavatam. Not every single happening of every day is described in the Bhagavatam, just a few main leelas here and there. Hari Ananta, Hari Katha Ananta. Bhagavan's leelas are uncountable in number. There's no way to record all of them in one single scripture or even in a million scriptures. There's no end to Krishna's leelas. So the main ones are recorded in the Bhagavatam. Now today where we start off is from Krishna's sixth year. When Sri Krishna and Balaram were 6 years old, from that time they were allowed to go out and graze the cows, the big cows. Up until then they'd been grazing the little calves. So they, taking the cows, they used to go further than they used to with the calves. So they used to enter some very beautiful areas of Vrindavan, Braj, Govardhan. There's a description of a beautiful forest of Vrindavan that there were flowers, multicolored flowers everywhere. And so many flowers with such sweet fragrance that the amount of bumblebees was so much, it was like a sweet song was being sung by the bumblebees who were buzzing around from flower to flower, but not the kind of bumblebees that you would be frightened of. The bumblebees themselves seem to be intoxicated in the love of Sri Krishna there in Vrindavan. So they're in their matwale kind of way, they're buzzing around and it sounds like they're singing Krishna's name as they buzz. There are beautiful ponds, small ponds, big ponds, like lakes. And on those ponds, on those sarovar, there are all different kinds of lotus blooming. And there's a very gentle breeze, which is not cold, not hot, just mild. And it's coming along and it's picking up the fragrance of all those lotus and all the other flowers. So it's carrying all those fragrances. And it's like the breeze is serving the forest of Vrindavan because it's, you know, giving a nice feeling on the skin, making sure it's not too hot by having a little gentle breeze, and it's carrying all the perfume of those flowers. So in this kind of an atmosphere, here come Krishna, but in front of him are thousands of cows. So first going ahead are the cows. Behind the cows, directly behind the huge herd of cows, is Krishna walking, playing his flute. And sometimes if he's not playing his flute, he's singing along with the bees. The bees are all buzzing in their own sweet tune. And then Krishna does like classical alap on top of what the bees are singing. So it makes for a very musical sound. And behind him is Balaram. And behind Balaram are all the hundreds and hundreds of Gwalbals. And the Gwalbals, they're always singing Sri Krishna's leelas. As they walk, all those leelas you've been hearing about, they've already happened. So those Gwalbals are remembering those leelas and they're singing it. Just like we sing some leela songs at the end of every satsang, those Gwalbals in their local language, they're just singing these village songs, remembering Krishna's leelas. In other words, they're showing how to do devotion. There's a type of bhakti called raga nuga bhakti. This is technically what is described in the Bhagavatam. How to do bhakti according to the Bhagavatam is called raga nuga bhakti. Raga nuga means rag anugat. Rag means love, attachment of the mind. So raga nuga bhakti means loving Krishna in the same way. Anugat means in the same way. Rag anugat. So loving Krishna in the same way as the Brajvasis loved him, that's raga nuga bhakti. So if someone, if a devotee, any of us, has sakya bhav for Krishna, they can emulate those gwalbals. In their mind, whenever they do devotion, they can think of those leelas, and they should do just like the gwalbals. Throughout the day, whatever they're doing, just keep singing those Krishna leelas. Sing Krishna's name, remember those leelas in your heart. See, even though they were physically with Krishna every day, yet even if they were away from him for some time, what were they thinking of? Him. They were always remembering his leelas. Sometimes Krishna would, there was a bird at that time called Hansaraj. So this is like a swan, you can say, but more regal. It's like a regal kind of swan. So these swans had a particular kind of call. So sometimes Krishna would go when the swans were calling, and he could make his voice just like that, and he would call along with the swans. Or if there were some peacocks dancing, maybe they were excited because there were some storm clouds, so the peacocks get excited and start calling and dancing. So then Krishna would make the same kind of sound from his throat, like the peacocks, and he would start dancing along with them, like tumuk, tumuk. Almost like he was mocking the peacocks, and the peacocks felt happy that Krishna was doing that and playing with them in that way. Sometimes if Balaram got really tired from all the playing when they were out grazing the cows, he would lie down with his head in the lap of one of the gwalbals in the shade of a tree, and Krishna would press his feet and press his legs. Or maybe he would take a big leaf from a tree or a plant and he would fan him if it was a hot day. Sometimes Balaram and Krishna would get amused by the other gwalbals. The other gwalbals, maybe they would, you know, sing some songs or do some dances to kind of please or amuse Balaram and Krishna. So then Balaram and Krishna would stand up and they'd go, wah, wah, wah. Or sometimes those gwalbals would, again, to have some fun and give some laughs to Balaram and Krishna, they would have wrestling matches, these little boys. Sometimes Krishna would join in. He would also wrestle with those gwalbals. And if he got really tired after all the wrestling, then maybe he would lie with his head in one of the gwalbals' laps, and some lucky gwalbal would get to press Krishna's charan or press his legs. And while this is going on, maybe some other gwalbal is sitting over there singing Krishna's leelas. So in this way they passed their days, grazing the cows, taking them to places where there's beautiful green grass, flowers everywhere, nice trees to give some shade. Now one day, Sri Dama, Subal, and Stoka Krishna, three of the gwalbals, they came to Balaram and to Krishna. And they said, you know, not far from here, there's a forest of palm trees that have palm fruit. But no one can go and eat those. They're so enticing. Can you smell them? The fruit from that was so strong, meaning such a sweet smell, that the breeze would pick that up. And they could smell that, oh yes, they were getting so hungry that we really want to eat those. palm fruits. But no one can eat those because there's a demon over there guarding that forest, Dhenukasur. He's a demon in the form of a gadha, in the form of a big donkey, huge, mean donkey, who's guarding that whole forest, but he's not alone. There are many, many other demon donkeys who are guarding that forest of palm fruits. So those boys came to Krishna and Balaram and they said, "We really want to eat those. You have done so many amazing things in our life. So why don't you do something to make it so that we can eat these fruits? You don't know, not even any animal or bird dares to go in that forest because of this Dhenukasur." So Balaram said, "Okay, let's go." And he walked straight into that forest, and using his tremendous strength, he just grabbed some of those trees and shook them. And all those palm fruits started falling. So it made a big noise. And Dhenukasur heard. And he came running with like a big sound that he could make, neighing. And he came and he was furious seeing that Balaram had dared to do that. So he came really close to him and he spun around, and with his two hind feet, with his two hind hooves, he, with all his force, he kicked Balaram right in the chest. It didn't do anything to Balaram. Having kicked him, he raced off. And then he came back again. And he spun around and he was just getting ready to kick him again. And Balaram, with one hand, this, keep in mind, this donkey is huge, probably as tall as the roof. With one hand, as with all that force he was going to kick him, he just grabbed both of his hind legs and his tail at the same time and spun him up and tossed him like that. And he just landed on the biggest of all of those palm trees. And it just, that Dhenukasur came crashing down on it, and that palm tree just split and fell. And as it fell, it knocked down other palm trees. It was like a domino effect. So that one fell on another one, which fell on another one, which fell on another one. And Dhenukasur was killed by that, but now all of the other asuras in the form of donkeys, they came running. So then Krishna joined in as well. And Balaram and Krishna both dispatched all of them, just one after another. They came, they grabbed them, spun them around and tossed them. So you can just imagine the scene, all these donkeys flying through the air, landing on palm trees, knocking over the palm trees. So the entire, this was a huge forest, and the whole thing just got strewn. The whole floor of the forest was strewn with fallen palm trees, fruits from those palm trees, and the bodies of those donkey demons. So in the end, they were all done with the demons, and then they just had a big feast on all of those palm fruits. So now the Gwalbals were happy. Then, after a whole day of eating palm fruits and grazing the cows, then they came back home. Now, you can imagine that those Gwalbals, they got to spend all day, every day with Krishna. Just that night, they went to their house. Krishna went to his house. And then in the morning, they'd see him again. But the gopis were away from Krishna all day, every day, while he was out grazing the cows. Yet, they were doing the same thing the Gwalbals were. Yadohane vahanane mathano pale pap prinkhinkhanar bharurvito kshanamar janadau gayanti chaina manurakta dhiyo shrukanthyo dhanya vrajastriya uruktram chit. The ladies of Mathura are praising the gopis of Braj, and they're saying that no matter what they do all day long, they're always engaged physically in some kind of household chore, whether it's tending to their children, to their babies, milking the cows, churning the curd to make butter, cleaning the house, cooking something, whatever they're doing, all the time Krishna is in their mind and in their heart. And they're singing His name and singing His leelas, either in their heart or out loud. And there's always tears coming from their eyes in loving remembrance, in love for Krishna, and also in separation for Him. Because when you feel a longing to be with someone you love, then it can bring tears as well. So the gopis had like always tears coming from their eyes. And they just spent all day, every day, thinking of Krishna while they did their worldly duties. So this is an example, a perfect example of how we are meant to live in the world with our mind in Shri Krishna. The gopis were karma yogis. Karma yoga means tankar me man yar me. That's karma yoga. Physically doing something but having your mind, the love, the loving attachment of your mind somewhere else with your friend. Like you're driving a car but your heart is having some loving feelings for someone that you're attached to. The gopis were perfect karma yogis. They never forgot Krishna even for a second. Yet, they never ignored their duties either. They did all of their family duties to each member of their family, their in-laws, their husband, their children. They did everything. But their love was for Krishna. So they spent the whole day waiting for when will Krishna be back. Now, at the end of the day, every day, Krishna would come back. Of course, the cows would be in front. Then would be Krishna playing on his flute, playing a sweet tune on his flute. And from being out the whole day, you know, Krishna had fairly long black hair. You can say shoulder length black hair or a little longer, which was ghungrali. It wasn't straight. It had like tresses, waves. And then after being out playing the whole day, it would be a little bit entangled. And he would have so much dust on him from being out playing. And because the cows are walking in front, so many hundreds and thousands of cows, they're going to kick up some dust. And then that dust would come on Krishna. So all the descriptions of Krishna coming home at the end of the day, they describe that his ghungrale baal, and him covered in like a thin layer of dust. And it was so beautiful, that vision of him coming and the sound of his flute. And as he walked, and as soon as the gopis heard the sound of his flute, they would all rush out of their house to have the darshan of Shri Krishna returning home. And behind him, Balaram and all the hundreds and hundreds of gwalbals. So as Krishna walked, he knows the heart of each one of his devotees. And he loves each of his devotees the same way that they love him. So Krishna's glance, although his eyes are the same, his glance is different depending on the feelings of that person for him. So just like you have a chest and you have arms, so you can give someone a hug. So maybe it's holy and you're hugging your neighbor because, you know, you put some rang on him, you put some gulal on him and it's holy, so you give him a hug. Happy holy. So that's one kind of hug. Then there is the kind of hug you give to your son or your daughter. That's a your same arms, same chest, but it's a different kind of hug than you would give to your neighbor. The same kind, the same arms and the same hug, the same chest and arms are used to hug your spouse. That's a different kind of hug. There's a different feeling behind it. Similarly, there's a difference in the look. When you look at a stranger, your eyes have something in them. When you look at your child, they're filled with vatsalya feelings. When they look at your spouse, they're filled with madhurya feelings. Madhurya means the feelings you have for your beloved. So Krishna would look with love at his mother, and with the same eyes he would look with love at his friends. But depending on, obviously, his friends had sakya bhav for him. So he would grace them with that loving look which was full of sakya ras when he looked at his friends, or full of vatsalya ras when he looked at his mother or father. But the gopis all had madhurya bhav for Shri Krishna. Madhurya bhav is said to be the sweetest bhav because it includes the feelings of being a das and being a sakha and being a mother or father, all, and being, you can say, priyatam, all in one. So the madhurya bhav of the gopis is actually the top of all the bhav. You have dasya bhav, which would be like how Hanumanji served Ram. That's dasya bhav. But being a sakha is even closer than that. You have more freedom and more intimacy if you're his personal friend. But that doesn't mean you can't serve him. You can serve him. But the one who only has dasya bhav, he can't behave with that intimacy that a personal friend would. Hanumanji would never cross that line. Hanumanji followed a certain maryada with Bhagwan Ram. But with Krishna and his friends, there were times when they served him, like when they got to press his feet if he was lying and he was tired. But there were other times when they were wrestling with him and playing, you know, joking around, playing tag, playing hide and seek, playing tug of war. Hanumanji would never have done anything like that with Ram, because there's a certain maryada, there's a certain set of rules that a servant has to follow with his master, but those rules are completely removed for between friends. There's no such thing. There's a little bit of formality that remains, but even that formality is removed in the relationship of son and mother. So you look at Yashoda and Krishna, she even would tie Krishna up to the ukal or threaten him with the stick. Even Krishna's friends would not treat him in that way, but she had even more closeness and more right over Krishna. But the gopis had all of that, that closeness of dasya bhav, sakya bhav, vatsalya bhav, all of that was included in their madhurya bhav. So madhurya means the sweetest. So the sweetest bhav of all. So the gopis had access, if they want to serve Krishna and behave as a servant, they could do that like someone in dasya bhav could. If they wanted to behave as Krishna's friend, as someone in sakya bhav, they could do that. If they wanted to behave like Krishna's mother, they could do that, like someone in vatsalya bhav. And if they wanted to love Krishna with all the feelings of their whole heart, like you would love your priyatam, your divine beloved, the gopis could do that. And Krishna loved each of his devotees in return with the same feelings. So when he returned into Braj, when he returned from his long day of grazing the cows, the gopis would all come out and they would want to get his darshan, and they would look and they would smile, but they would be, you know, following the social rules, you could say. They looked, but in a bashful way. They smiled, but in a humble way. And Krishna accepted and acknowledged their looks and their smiles by looking at each one individually as he passed, with that love in his eyes, with that madhurya prem, the same love. Krishna looked at each one as he passed. So in this way, Shri Krishna distributed his divine love to all those saints, whether they were madhurya bhav saints like the gopis, or vatsalya bhav saints like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, or sakya bhav saints like the Gwalbals, his playmates. Through all of his different leelas, every day he gave those different kinds of ras through his exposition of those leelas. And when he returned home, Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they were waiting. They had also been waiting. That when Balaram and Krishna get home today, what will we feed them? What will we cook for them? So they thought like that the whole day. Okay, we'll make this and we'll make that. And they had it all ready. So then when they got home, first they made them take a bath. Then they dressed them and decorated them nicely. Then they fed them whatever they had prepared. And then they put them to bed and made them sleep. And then the next day again, they would get up and go out. They would give them their lunch. And again, they'd get together with all of their friends and head out to graze the cows. So one day it happened that Shri Krishna went out without Balaram. He went out with all the Gwalbals, but Balaram did not join them on that day. And it was a really hot day. They had, of course, all the cows. Now, in that place where they were, near Yamuna River, there was a great snake named Kalyanag. Was a poisonous snake, an extremely poisonous snake, and he resided in a very deep pool, Kaliya Daha, it's called. In that deep pool of Yamunaji, Kalyanag resided. Now the boys knew that Kalyanag was there, but in the heat of that day, they were so thirsty, and the cows were so thirsty, they just somehow didn't think of it, and they all went and drank from Yamuna in that very place where Kalyanag was. So all of the cows and all of the Gwalbals, they all fell unconscious, like dead, on the side, on the bank of the river. And then Krishna came and saw, what? My friends drank that poisonous water of Kaliya Daha, and now they all are dead? So he just looked with one glance, with his you can say it was like amrit, like nectar in his eyes, and they all just regained consciousness. And they all realized, oh, we made a big mistake drinking that. But then Krishna decided, this is my Leela Sthali. I come here to do Leelas here at Yamuna. And this snake, Kalyanag, he's poisoning the whole waters. So poisonous that even if you can say it's like boiling, roiling, that water was like yellowish and reddish because of his poison just, you know, coming out all over. And it was so hot, it actually made the water boil. And if even a bird would come flying low over the surface of Yamuna and some of the fumes from that came up, the bird would just fall in and die. Or sometimes if it was a windy day and there were waves and there was some spray coming off, the wind blowing the spray off the waves and those water droplets went, blew to the shore, then all those plants and grass and animals, anyone who came in contact with that mist, they would also die. So the whole area was barren. Shri Krishna decided it's time to do something about this. So he climbed a really high kadamba tree that was right on the edge and its branches leaned out over. So he climbed right up to the top of that and he jumped on one of those branches. First he, cinched up his dhoti. And he jumped right into the water. And then using his tremendous strength, he just went back and forth with his arms and he stirred up the water so much. He was creating these huge waves. The water level rose, it says in the Bhagavatam, 600 feet. He was creating such a ruckus. So Kalyanag heard all of that and he came to see what's going on. And he saw Krishna, this young boy, 6-year-old Shri Krishna, and he was attracted by his beauty, actually. He saw how, sham-colored he was, and what a beautiful face and beautiful dress he had, and his beautiful black hair. Yet, Kalyanag, although he was attracted to the vision of Krishna, he was also angered by this boy. How can he just fearlessly be playing in my part of Yamuna River? No, that cannot be. So he just charged at Krishna and he bit him in many places and wrapped him up with his long body. And Krishna became motionless. Now all the Gwalbals and the cows, they were on the bank of Yamuna and they were actually seeing this happen. And when the Gwalbal saw that Kaliya Nag bit Krishna and now he has him wrapped up and Krishna's not moving, almost like he looks unconscious, those Gwalbals fainted in grief. Their love for Krishna was so much they couldn't bear the thought. So they just, all of them fainted. And the cows even were in so much distress, they were looking and just like couldn't turn their head. And they were making, you know, bellowing sounds and looking so restless and distressed and worried about Sri Krishna. Then over back in Nandagaon, back in Braj, Nanda Baba and other gopis and gopis, they were seeing some like inauspicious signs, some omens that were foreboding. So they thought, something must be wrong. So many amazing things have happened since Krishna has been here. Something might be happening to Krishna. Nanda Baba thought, Balaram didn't go with Krishna today. I hope nothing bad has happened. So they all rushed. All the gopis, the gwals, they rushed out. And the gopis as well joined them. And although all of this was going on, Balaram was with them. Balaram was watching everybody getting worried. Watching his father, watching his mother, all the elders, the gopis, the gopis. He's seeing them in their agitated state and Balaram is smiling to himself. He didn't say anything to anybody, but he's just smiling to himself thinking, I know who my little brother is and I know we don't have to worry. So he just went along. And they all went out thinking, where's Krishna? Where is Krishna? But they didn't have to go far to figure it out because they saw his footprints. Sri Krishna has very distinct markings on the soles of his feet. So they could see that in the dust on the ground of Braj, of course mixed in with all the cows and the gwalbals, but every once in a while they would see one of Krishna's footprints. So they followed them down towards Yamuna. And when they got close, then all the gwalbals saw, oh, Krishna's wrapped up by Kaliya Nag and he's not moving. So again, all those gwalbals also, not the gwalbals, the older, the gwalbals' fathers, they saw that and they fainted. The gopis came with Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda, they were distressed. They didn't lose consciousness immediately, but they saw Mother Yashoda running. She was going to run and jump in Yamuna, in that poisonous water, and go and try and free Krishna from Kaliya Nag. But all the gopis stopped her. No, no, you can't jump in. You'll die if you jump in. That won't be helping. So they held her back. Then Nanda Baba regained consciousness and he was getting ready to jump in and many of the other gwals were getting ready to jump in and help Krishna. But Balaram stopped them all. He said, no, 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 you can't jump in there. So seeing the distress of his family and all of those Brajwasis and all of his friends, Sri Krishna said, okay, enough of this leela of being caught by this snake. So he made his body puff up. He became bigger and fatter and fatter and fatter until Kaliya Nag felt like his body was actually going to burst under the pressure from Sri Krishna. So he had to release him. So he released him and then again he tried to attack. But this time Sri Krishna, he started dodging back and forth. So Kaliya Nag would, you know, strike here and Krishna would just dodge over to that side. And he'd strike here, he'd dodge to the other side. So in this way, Kaliya Nag started to get very tired from chasing him around. And when that happened, see, Kaliya Nag had 101 heads. So one body, but then it split into all these different pun, you know, like a python. 101 heads. So Sri Krishna, when he started to get tired, when the snake got tired, Sri Krishna jumped up on top of one of those heads. And then he started dancing in a classical style. Yeah, in a classical style with all the proper beats. And when the celestial gods saw that हमारे प्रभु की इच्छा है नृत्य करने का. So then they all decided, okay, we'll play the musical accompaniment. So the Gandharvas, they all came and they started playing the classical music. So then to that music, Sri Krishna danced on all of Kali and Nag's heads. So he would dance on each head until he bowed down that head. And whatever head wasn't bowing, Krishna jumped up on that one and danced. So the striking of his feet was subduing Kali and Nag. Eventually, Kali and Nag was completely subdued by Sri Krishna. And Krishna jumped off. And Kali and Nag's wives came and prayed to Sri Krishna. They were also in the form of snakes. And they prayed, please have mercy on him. Don't kill him. He's our husband and we know that he's papi. We know that he sinned against you, that he did many wrong things. But your anger is also kripa. They said, when you get angry on someone like you did on Kali and Nag, we know that you are only gracing that person. That through your anger, what are you trying to destroy? You're trying to destroy their sins. And you're trying to elevate them, make them have kalyan. What is the greatness of our husband's bhagya? What great karma did he do in his previous lifetimes to be granted the touch of your lotus feet on his head, on all 101 of his heads? It's because of the desire to have the touch of your lotus feet that Goddess Lakshmi did austerities for hundreds of thousands of years. Yadvan chaya shrir lalana charatapo vihay kaman suchiram dhritavrata suchiram dhritivrata. They exclaimed that Lakshmi went renouncing everything and she did devotion, she did austerities for a long, long time, with just this desire to receive the touch of your lotus feet, Shri Krishna. And you awarded that to Kali and Nag? What great karma did he do to receive that? Nanak prishtham nacha sarvabhaumam na parameshthyam na mahindradhishnyam na yoga siddhira punarbhavam va vanchanti yapadaraja prapanna. They go on to say that the one who has received the touch of your lotus feet, they no longer desire for anything. They don't desire for the seat of Brahma. They don't desire for the seat of Indra. They don't desire to rule this entire earth planet. Even if they were offered to become emperor of the whole earth planet, they wouldn't be interested. They don't desire yogic siddhis, nor do they even desire moksha, liberation. They only want to keep drinking the sweet nectar of your divine love, received through the touch of your lotus feet. This was the prayer that those wives of Kali and Nag sang, which is recorded in the Bhagavatam. So Sri Krishna said, no, 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 I will allow him to live. But he has to leave this Yamuna area because his poison is poisoning the whole river. We can't play here. And I know that he only came here out of fear of Garuda. Because Garuda and Kali and Nag, Garuda is Krishna's divine carrier, like a divine eagle, you could say, who carries him. So he has an enmity with snakes. So he and Kali and Nag had, you know, this enmity going, but of course Garuda, no one could match with him. So Kali and Nag had to flee to the one place where Garuda couldn't go. Saubhari Muni had cursed Garuda It's a long story. We won't go into it tonight. He had cursed him that you can never enter this pool of Yamuna. So knowing that, Kalyanag left Ramanak Dweep, which is a big island out in the ocean where all such snakes live. He had to leave that place out of fear of Garurji. And he came and he started living in this pool in Yamuna. So Shri Krishna said, you no longer have to fear Garur because now you have my footprints on your head. And seeing my footprints, Garur will never harm you. So now you and your family can return to Ramanak Dweep. And that was the end of the Kalyanag Leela. And all of the Brajwasis, they're so tired from this Leela, they decided, let's just spend the night here on the bank of Yamuna with Shri Krishna. So now that Kalyanag was gone, the water of Yamuna not only became clean and poison-free, but became nectar-like again. So they spent the night there on the bank with Shri Krishna, but something happened in the middle of the night. So what happened, we'll find out tomorrow.